And so each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what actually helps, what really matters, so that we can have not only the energy, but the inspiration to begin living in the ways that we've always wanted to live. I know that each and every one of us is a divinely created being. And that divine spark of life, it's alive in each and every one of us. I know that because without it, we wouldn't be living. We would be what we call dead. We wouldn't be breathing, living, walking, talking. And because of that inner spark of life, that God spark, that inner divinity, we have the choice and we also have the power to bring ourselves up. Sometimes we need a little help, but we can rise up out of depression, out of addiction, anger, grief, any suffering that we may have been experiencing. We can come up out of it. I know that because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I really hope that you join me here every Wednesday, right here on 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, or online at WAIF883.org, as we tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that actually is animating all forms of life, including yours and mine. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain or even do in order to feel that inner peace or happiness. There's really only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of that God energy inside of us. You can call that your higher self, or you can call it Great Spirit, or unconditional love, or divine energy. It doesn't really matter what you call it, but it really does matter if you call on it. Because that divine power that lives in your heart, and mine, and in everyone else's, that divine power is actually ours as soon as we claim it. And that's really what this show is all about. And so I really want to thank you for listening. And I'd also like to let you know that if you would like some help with getting in touch with that higher self, that inner spirit inside of you, there is a free guided meditation on my website. There's also a whole lot of free information and other tools on my various websites. And you're invited to check those out if you would like to. And it's just my name, Louisa Dyer, louisadyer.com, louisadyer.net, and also thewowprocess.com. Lots of information on there if you want it. There's also a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. So if you're on Facebook and you'd like to connect, please do so. I'd love to hear any comments you have about what we've had on the show or what you'd like to see on the show. And I've also been inviting people to share their personal transformational stories, aha moments, anything that's happened that has made you come alive or recognize yourself as the divine being that you are, anything that has really turned your life around for the better. I've discovered over the years that when we hear one another's transformational stories, it wakes us up in a way that just reading an article just doesn't do. And so I invite you to share those stories, and that Facebook page or any of those websites is a way to get in touch with me. And let's see if you would like to be on the radio, either by the phone or come in the station if you're in the area. And so we begin each week with a little bit of music to uplift our spirits, to really begin to bring body, mind, and spirit into a greater harmony. And I also recommend that you let the body move if it really wants to. Because when the body's moving with music, it really begins to feel more strongly the spirit that's animating the body. So I'll be back, and I really hope you join me for today's exploration of how to live a healthier, happier, more centered life. And here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy.
A child of life. A daily expression of that life. Right now, forever will be inside of me. Standing as one. One. Stand as one for humanity. We will stand as one for humanity. Forever will be. We will stand as one for humanity.
Here every Wednesday, really talking about how to tap into that divine spark, that divine love that lives in the core of each and every one of us, because that's where our power is. And because when we tap into that, we feel good. We feel full and alive, and it's good to feel healthy, and all of these things that come from tapping into the truth of who we are, which is that inner divinity, as far as I'm concerned. It makes us so much healthier in mind, in body, and in spirit when we actually welcome that connection with that divine spark inside of us and reclaim communication with it. That's when it's really good. And so what we do every week on this show is we talk about ways that can help us wake up to that, and we talk about ways to move out any obstacles that we have to experiencing that. And you know, all of us have those obstacles. We've all been hurt. We've all had trauma of one kind or the other in our lives. And when a human being experiences pain, whether that's emotional, mental, or physical, or spiritual really is at the root of it, as far as I can tell. But no matter what kind of pain that we're aware of experiencing, unless we actually can express that, we don't heal from it. It sort of gets buried in our bodies, in our emotional selves, or in our mental programming. And so then we walk around with all this woundedness, and we don't feel happy or have a lot of vitality or feel really good about being alive. And so that's why I do this show each and every week, because there are thousands and thousands of tools that exist to help us. And some may work for you and others may not. And that's why there are as many ways to God as there are blades of grass, in my opinion. There are just as many tools. For everything that could be a problem to a human being, God has provided the solution. In the Bible, it actually says that God has provided that solution in nature. And now that I have a bigger understanding of what nature is, then I really get that a whole lot more. Because one of the things that I do is I work with nature intelligence. And what I've come to understand is that everything that exists in form is nature. So I think of nature as God made manifest, but I'm not just talking about the trees. I'm talking about everything that exists in form. You know, it's all got God in it, just like you do, just like I do. If we did not have that God spark in us, we wouldn't be living. So that's how I can have complete and absolute faith that God is alive and well in you, in me, in everyone and everything. If we are living, if we are alive, no matter how much suffering or how much sorrow or how much pain that we are in, if we can find a way to move whatever obstacles are in there that have blocked us from recognizing that God spark inside of us, or if we can be involved in activities that inspire us and help us actually feel that God spark inside of us, then we can actually improve our health physically, emotionally, mentally, and definitely spiritually. So today, what we're going to actually be focused on is this wonderful thing that I got from Byron Katie. For those of you who don't know who Byron Katie is, she is a woman who travels all over the world. She works in prisons and in hospitals, and she goes to war-torn countries, and she does something called The Work. Just that's what she calls what she does, The Work. And it is a process of inquiry, and it is quite profoundly effective in noticing that you are thinking all kinds of things that are not true, and it's thinking those untrue thoughts that create pain in your life. And so when you can learn to inquire into your thoughts and discover that you don't know if they're true or not, then it lets you let go of a lot of things. And Katie has written a number of books. The first one, I believe, was called Loving What Is, and it really teaches you how to Be at Peace with Reality. The second book was called I Need Your Love, Is That True? And of course, that book is focused more on relationships, and it's quite phenomenal. My favorite book of hers is called A Thousand Names for Joy. And in it, she just talks about what it's like to live with the understanding that God is always here, present, right here, right now. It is a beautiful, beautiful book. And today we're going to be talking about 21 ways to stay in peace. And these are compilations from Byron Katie's work. And they were actually put together by a woman named Mary Lynn Hendricks. But I believe you can find this on Byron Katie's website, which is just called thework.com. And there's a lot of free tools actually on Katie's website that you can start looking at and using for yourself. And I'm not sure if we're actually going to have time to do all of them. So I have picked out my favorite. And if we don't get to all of them, I'll tell you what all 21 of them are. These are really simple, yet very powerful practices that can actually give us new ways of looking at what's going on in our lives. And through doing that, we create new possibilities for self-realization. I mean, it's really that simple. So if you'd like to get a pen and paper to write these down, that would be great. And the first one, I think, is one of the most powerful. And it's called reversing judgments. Practice noticing when you judge or criticize something or someone. For example, in a grocery store line, you might be impatient and think the person in front of you is disorganized or rude. Very quickly, just turn your judgment around and ask yourself, is that just as true about me? Am I sometimes rude to others or to myself? Am I being rude right now inside of me when I think they are rude? This exercise actually takes your attention off the other and places the attention on yourself. And what happens then is forgiveness naturally happens, because most of the time, if you turn that around and you say, you know, am I sometimes rude? If you're honest, you're going to say, sure, I'm sometimes rude to other people, and obviously I'm rude to myself frequently. And as soon as you notice that, then you can decide to forgive yourself for that. Because in the moment that you were being rude, you couldn't have done anything else, right? I mean, if you could have, you would have. You did the best you could in that moment. And you can also decide in this moment that you would like to be less rude in the future. And so you can right there in that moment decide to forgive yourself for having been rude before. And if you would like to, you can decide that you are going to drop that habit and adopt a different one. When we place blame or judgment on someone or something else, what happens is it leaves us powerless to change an experience, because we don't have any control, we don't have any power over anything outside of us. When we take responsibility for our own beliefs and our own judgments, then that actually gives us the power to change them. And the other truth of that is that beyond the appearance of who it is that we're looking at, it really is always God. Because God is what gives life to you, to me, to everyone. So no matter who you're looking at, it's really just another expression of God standing right in front of you. And really, you can think of that as a mirror, an expression, a reflection, so that you can know yourself. And so when we reverse judgments like this, it allows complete forgiveness. And forgiveness leads to awareness. And when we are aware of ourselves, we can have personal integrity in a way that we couldn't when we were unaware. And so that is the very first step in bringing yourself into a state of peace, is noticing and reversing your judgments, your criticisms of someone or something. All you have to do is just quickly turn it around and ask yourself, is that true about me? Am I sometimes that? And most of the time, you know, we're all humans. Most of the time, we're going to have to be human enough that we've been rude sometimes, we've been a jerk sometimes, we've been less than helpful sometimes, we've been tired and ugly and mean sometimes. It doesn't mean that that's who we are, it just means that we went into that space. Once we notice it, then we can say, oh wow, I have done that, and now I'm going to decide to forgive myself for having done that. And once we forgive ourselves, it's like what forgiveness requires actually is self-acceptance. And acceptance is another name for love. So once I accept that, yes, I did that, and yes, I'm willing to forgive myself, then we can feel that self-love. And then that makes it easier to make a new choice because there's power in that love. And I want to point out that it says all these are about practicing. I think that's something that we often forget. We think, oh, I learned this one time, I should know this forever, and why am I having to do this again? Well, it's because it's a practice. None of us ever get good at something by doing it one time. We get good at something by doing it over and over and over and over. So, practice, I think, is the key word. And the second way to stay in the peace, and Katie talks about this a lot in all the work that she does. She says there are three kinds of business. There's your business, there's God's business, and there's my business. And so begin to notice when you are mentally out of your business. If you're not sure, you can just stop and ask mentally, whose business am I in? You probably notice right away. There are only three kinds of business in the universe, according to Byron Katie, and I happen to agree with her. Mine, yours, and God's. Whose business is it if an earthquake happens? That's God's business. Whose business is it if your neighbor has an ugly lawn? Well, that's your neighbor's business. Whose business is it if you are angry at your neighbor down the street because they have an ugly lawn? That's your business. So, you know, life is simple like that. It's internal. Whenever I'm in your business or God's business, then what I'm doing is I'm making myself suffer because I have no business in God's business or your business. I only have business in my business. So the exercise that she gives to help you with this is to count in 5-minute intervals how many times that you are in someone else's business mentally. Just notice whenever you give uninvited advice or offer your opinion about something, whether you do that out loud or silently, it doesn't matter. It's still going on mentally. But just count in 1 5-minute interval how many times you're in someone else's business mentally. And you can just ask yourself, am I in their business or God's business? Did they ask me for my advice? And more importantly, can I take the advice that I was just offering and apply it to my life? It's similar to reversing the judgment. You notice what you're projecting outwards, and then you turn it around, and you use it to empower yourself. Because as long as it's projected outward, you have no power. You certainly don't have any control. And I think we get confused a lot of times because we attempt to control external situations or people, and then we get frustrated because we can't. Well, you're never going to be able to, so you might as well give it up. We don't have any control, but we have ultimate power by going inside and being aware and being very honest with ourselves. And I personally think we get honest with ourselves, and then the next step is always forgiving. Forgive yourself for whatever it was, because it's over and done. You can't go back. You might as well decide to forgive yourself for whatever it was. And that forgiveness is love. And love gives you the power to make a new choice. So I love that. Reversing judgments and then figuring out whose business am I in? My business, your business, or God's business? And then making a decision
to either take the advice that I gave somebody else, take it for myself, and at the very least, decide I'm going to pay attention to my business instead of someone else's. It will generate a great deal more peace inside of you. It's never peaceful to have yourself mentally in somebody else's business because you're trying to be in charge or control something that's outside of your power, and it's certainly outside of your control. And when we're attempting to control, then what usually results from that is we at least feel frustrated. Sometimes we get very angry or extremely sad, but regardless, we don't feel happy. When I am in my business, I have power. And when I feel powerful, I am much more likely to be in peace than when I feel disempowered and out of control. And the third thing we're going to talk about is speaking in the present tense. I have worked with people with this for many years, and it's just amazing to become aware of how often your words have you focused on the past or the future instead of the present. So just make a decision right now to become mindful of focusing on this present moment. And just become aware of how often your conversation focuses on the past or the future. What you have to do to do that is to be aware of the verbs that you use. Was, did, that's past. Will, are going to, that's future. So you have to pay attention to talk in the present tense. I am is present tense. If you say, I will, that's in the future. If you say, I must, that's also in the future. If you say, I did, or I was, you're talking about the past. I am is the way you talk about the present. And those two words are very powerful, I am, because whatever follows those two words in your thinking, and especially when you verbalize them, that really is what becomes your reality. I've seen people change their lives simply by changing what follows those two words, I am. So a little example of that would be, instead of saying, I am tired, you might try shifting that to, I am feeling tired. Or you could even shift it more to say, I was feeling tired, and now I am moving into greater energy. Because anything that follows those two words, I am, that really does become a reality for you in the moment, and then that's what's creating your future, if there is a future reality. Let's say that's what's creating your next moment. So, become mindful of the verb tense that you use. Are you talking about the past? Are you talking about the future? To speak of the past right now is to reawaken that past and to recreate it right now in the present, if only in your mind. So especially if it's something that you didn't like, why would you want to be recreating it now? Because when you're doing that, you're actually lost to what's present for you right now. So it's important to speak in present tense. To speak of the future that's really to create and live with a fantasy, because the future doesn't exist. It's a potentiality, but it doesn't exist. And so to focus on it is actually insane, because you're focused on what doesn't exist. And if you're focused on what doesn't exist, then you can't possibly be focused on what does exist. And the only place you have any power is right here, right now, right where you exist. I mean, if you want to experience fear, then think of the future. If you want to experience shame and guilt, think of the past. If you want to experience power and freedom and peace, then think and talk and focus on present moment awareness and speak in present tense. I think if you just begin noticing how often you just naturally, because we do, you listen to people and you can hear a lot of people are doing that. They're talking about what happened in the past or what they hope is going to happen in the future. And the present just gets lost. So our show is Inner Divinity, and we focus here on what really wakes us up and helps us know God inside of us and what it is that's in our way and how to get it out of the way so that we can reclaim that power and that beauty and that love and the vitality that comes from being in touch with that core of who we really are. And I also want to let you know that there is a Facebook page for this show where you can find out each week what's going to be on the program. And I would love to hear your stories as well. I often am interviewing various people on the show to talk about their healing journey or to talk about their spiritual journey, some epiphany, some magical moment that has happened in their life, or especially a miracle. I have shared a number of miracles on here, and you know, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for a lot of miracles, and I know a lot of people have stories that they can tell that would really inspire other people, and so I invite you to share those stories with us. I have been blessed by so many miracles. There are so many times that it would have just been easier for me to be either killed or hurt very badly or, you know, simply not be here or locked up. And I'm so grateful to be here. And doing this show is one of the ways that I give back. And so I'm just really happy that it makes other people happy. So we want to continue our talk about Byron Katie's 21 ways to stay in the peace. We talked about the first one was reversing judgments, and the second was the three kinds of business, and the third was speaking in the present tense. And the next thing I want to talk about is it's called doing the dishes. It's a practice of learning to love whatever it is you're doing, learning to love the action that is in front of you right now. It's like your inner voice or your intuition, whatever you want to call that, guides you all day long to do the simple things, you know, that we each have to do to live a life, like driving to work or washing the dishes or sweeping the floor or, you know, feeding the dog, whatever it is. And so this practice is about just being present in yourself with that activity. It's like allowing the sanctity or the sacredness of that simplicity of being fully present when you're doing the dishes. Instead of thinking about tomorrow or last week, really focus on doing the dishes, being absolutely present with whatever it is you are doing. You know, listening to our inner voice and acting on the suggestions with that implicit trust, it creates a life that is more graceful and more effortless, and it can feel miraculous. It can actually be miraculous. And so bring all of your attention to whatever it is you're doing in the moment, whether it's driving or washing the dishes or whatever it is. Don't think about yesterday or don't think about what you're going to do in 5 minutes. Really notice. I mean, we call it doing the dishes because that's such a sensory-rich experience. You know, notice the suds. Feel the suds. Smell the suds. Notice how your hand moves as you're watching that dish. It's like being really present in the moment. That's where we find peace, because peace happens when we are present in the moment. Anything that you do on a regular basis, any of those daily, what we used to call activities of daily living when I was in the human service field, washing the dishes, sweeping the floor, driving the car, getting ready to make a phone call. Now we've talked about, I think, four ways. The other is an exercise. It's called reporting to yourself. This exercise can really help in healing fear and terror. And it's really simple. What you do is you just practice reporting events to yourself as if a circumstance that you find yourself in is actually a news story. and you are like the roving reporter. Just announce exactly what your surroundings are and what's happening on the scene, as it were, at that very moment. Fear, you know, is always the result of projecting some recreation of the past into the present or into the future. And if you find yourself feeling fearful, then you can just find the core belief that's underneath that fear and ask yourself, is it true that I need to be fearful in this situation? Is it true that being fearful is going to be helpful? And what is actually happening right now physically? Where, for example, is my body? My hands, my arms, my feet, my legs, etc. And what do I see? You know, look around. Do you see trees, walls, window, the sky, the stereo? What do you see? If you can just notice what's going on and report on it in a sort of impersonal sort of way, it's like you take the scissors and you cut a lot of the fearful thinking that's been going on around it, and you can begin healing it. When we impersonalize our stories like this, it gives us an opportunity to like look at the circumstances more objectively, and then, because we are, then we can choose what our response is going to be. If we just live in our minds and live in our untrue thoughts, well, then that's a good way to scare ourselves to death, for sure. And if we do that often enough, then it starts showing up in the body as high blood pressure or joint problems. So just practice reporting the whole thing to yourself as though you were on the outside looking in, and you're the reporter, and you're just announcing exactly what's going on in the surroundings, in the actions, what the environment looks like, what's going on with your body. And if you notice what the fear is, you can actually ask yourself, is it true that I need to be actually fearful in this moment? Is that helping me at all? And if you notice that it isn't, then you can decide. You can just say, you know, I'm willing to release that fear. Sometimes it really is that simple. I try to focus here every week on really practical, everyday sorts of ways that we can lead happier, healthier, and more peaceful lives. Because when we know what our truth is, and when we reclaim our right to live from that deepest truth, then what happens is we actually reclaim our vitality. And I think that's a problem that a lot of people have. We just feel tired. We just feel overwhelmed. And I think it's because we don't have a clear, solid connection with that core divinity inside of us. It doesn't matter to me what you call that divine spark of life inside of you. One of the reasons that I am an interfaith minister is because I believe there are as many paths to God as there are blades of grass, as there are grains of sand on the ocean. What's important is our connection with that divine spark of life, whatever we call it. You can call that in your heart. You can call it your higher self or higher power. You can call it God. You can call it Jesus. You can call it Buddha, Allah, Krishna. It doesn't matter what you call that divine spark of life, but it matters very, very much that you call on it, because that is what gives you life. That is what gives you health and vitality. That is what gives you energy. And if you don't know that power inside of you, then you're going to not feel as alive as you could. And so that is my personal passion, is to wake up myself and everyone else to that very personal connection with that source energy inside of us, to wake up to feeling alive. So my intention is always to inspire. And one of the ways that I get inspired is by dancing. And one of the supporters, underwriters for my show is Conscious Dancer Magazine. And so I want to tell you about them right now. Conscious Dancer Magazine and the movement map that is on their ConsciousDancer.com website is your source for holistic movement. Their tagline is movement for a better world. That website will show you wonderful places to get your body moving. Wherever you're living or traveling, there is a movement map on Conscious Dancer's website that tells you all the conscious dancing events going on everywhere, all over the world, including where you live. The website, again, is www.consciousdancer.com. We want to go back and talk some more about Byron Katie's 21 Ways to Stay in Peace. For those of you who are just joining us and you don't know who Byron Katie is, she is an enlightened being. She's written some incredible books. Loving What is the first one, and that book really teaches you how to question your thoughts so that you stop creating suffering in your life by thinking what isn't true. Her second book was called I Need Your Love, Is That True? That book is focused on relationships and how to stop suffering so much in the relationships that are going on in your life. And my favorite book of hers is called A Thousand Names for Joy. Oh, incredible, beautiful book. And Byron Katie's website is The Work, W-O-R-K. That's what she calls all the work that she does. And she teaches all over the world. She does a lot of volunteer work in prisons, in hospitals, in war-torn countries. She also does a lot of work here in the United States, and people go and work with her personally. Again, her website is thework.com. We've talked about reversing judgments. We've talked about the three kinds of business that there are, mine, yours, and God's. We've talked about speaking and staying in the present, speaking in the present tense. And we've talked about our practice called doing the dishes, which is just about being present with whatever's going on in front of you. And the last thing we talked about was reporting to yourself, meaning talking about what's going on around you as though you're a reporter, rather than talking from within the middle of it, out of all of your fear. You just talk about it, and you look at the situation, and you look at yourself, and you might even ask yourself, is there really anything that I need to be afraid of right now? And if there isn't, you can make a decision. You can declare your willingness to let that fear go. Declaring something is a very powerful way of empowering yourself. It's like I said before, whatever follows the words I am is creating your reality. So you can say, I am willing to release that fear. We don't ever have to know how to do something. You know, God created us in such an amazing way that we don't actually ever have to know how. The ego thinks we do. The ego gets really caught up in trying to figure it all out. But you know what? We don't gotta. We don't have to figure it out. All we ever have to do is be willing. And then the universe, God, source, spirit, whatever you call that divine spark of life, it begins conspiring to make it so the moment we express willingness. So we can say, I am willing to release that fear. I am willing to speak in the present tense. I am willing to forgive myself. I am willing to release that judgment. You'll be amazed how just doing that can set you free. The next exercise we want to talk about from this 21 list, and we're never going to get all 21 of them done, but I'm going to talk about a few more that I think are really wonderful, and then I'll just briefly tell you what the others are. The next one I really wanted to talk about is called exercising polarity. What that means is, for example, if you find yourself dwelling on a negative thought, that is, having the same negative thought over and over, or maybe it's a negative thought you've had your whole life, and every now and then you just go back to it. But especially in the moment, if you just keep having this negative thought, what you can do in that moment is you can go to the opposite extreme of positive thinking. Like, oh, I'm such a stupid person, if that's your thought, and you keep thinking that. The opposite extreme would be, oh, I am such a brilliant person. It's like if you're dwelling on something negative, practice going to the opposite positive extreme polarity, the extreme opposite of that. It's fun. It will also help break that negative programming. And when you catch yourself slipping back into that negative thinking, whatever it is, then you just choose again to return to the positive polarity or the positive opposite and be present with that as a conscious choice. Just feel the truth in it. You know, with the example I just gave, if what you were saying was, oh, God, I'm so stupid, and you hear that and you decide, oh, I'm going to go to the opposite, positive. Okay, I'm so brilliant. I bet you, if you will stop just one moment and say, okay, when have I been brilliant? I bet you there's an example in my life of when I've been brilliant. Let's see if I can find at least one, maybe two, and oh, if you could find three, that would be even more incredible. Find 1 to 3 examples when you have been that opposite positive thing, when you were brilliant. You know, it might have been at work or at home or at school, or it might have been when you were figuring something out while you were driving down the road, or while you were, you know, maybe you discovered a new way to do something that was time-saving. Most of us have been very, very brilliant many, many times, but we don't tend to focus on that. So again, whatever the negative thought is, practice. And remember, I'm going to mention that again. Practice means we have to do it over and over and over until we get good at it. Nobody ever got good at much of anything doing it one time. So you're going to practice it. You're going to have the negative thought, and you're going to go to the positive extreme, and then you're going to find yourself having the negative thought again. Then you're going to go to the positive extreme. It's a practice. And once you've practiced it enough, you're good at it. And then it just feels good all the time because you don't have those negative thoughts anymore. Wouldn't that be amazing to not have those negative thoughts anymore? So when you have that positive thought, really just be present with the conscious choice and the power that you have to make a conscious choice to think a positive thought. And then find at least one, preferably three, examples in your life of when you have actually been or experienced that positive thing that you just said. Feel the truth in it, in other words. You know, in reality, there is only God. There is only love, which to me is another name for God. And anything that doesn't appear as love or as God, it's just a disguised call for love or for God. It is your birthright. It is my birthright to live in that positive place of love and truth. How do I know that? Because God created us. God lives inside each and every one of us, and each and every one of us live inside of God. How do I know that's true? Because if that God spark, that life, wasn't in you, you'd be what we call dead, and you're not. You're walking around, you're talking. You may be suffering a great deal. That doesn't mean that God spark is not in you. It just means that you're not in touch with it. But you have the power to change your thought. Because a thought can always be changed. We just have to want to. We have to be willing to. And so that statement, I am willing to change this thought, can be a very, very powerful one. And practice catching yourself with the negative thought and changing it to the opposite, extreme, positive opposite. Find the truth in that positive statement. And let yourself feel it. I think it will make a really big difference in how you're feeling. And the last one we want to talk about before we hear a little bit more music is, she calls this actually a self-loving process. And boy, is this something we all could use, is to love ourselves more. Because the truth is, the more we love and nurture and take care of ourselves, then the more and better we can love and nurture and take care of everyone else in our lives. If we have an empty well, it's really hard to give out of an empty well. And so we have to take responsibility for filling up our own well if we want to be able to give from it. This little exercise, I think, is just wonderful. She says, make a list of everything you love about someone and share it with them. And of course, if you're not comfortable sharing it with them personally, you can just sit down in your imagination and imagine sharing it with them and imagine them sitting there with you and imagine whatever responses you want to imagine from them. You don't actually have to do it in person. But if it's somebody that you're comfortable with, then by all means, share it with them in person. But make that list of everything you love about someone and then give yourself everything that is on that list. That's going to be fun. You may also recognize that what you love about someone else is just as true of you. And again, I would invite you to look for examples in your life of where that is also true for you. When you do that, then what happens when we do that really is that we get to allow the fullness of that love that we were talking about and the ways that we see it and feel it and experience. We get to allow the fullness of that to be expressed in our life because we've owned it. We've actually owned it. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. In the first part of this exercise, don't think about the second part. First part is make a list of everything you love about someone and then share it with them in person if you're comfortable, in your imagination if that's easier, and then give yourself everything that's on that list and then look at how what you love about them is also true in you and find examples of that. I think that would be a very, very, very powerful exercise. I am really wanting to hear a song, Going Deeper to Fly Higher. It is by Jody Salon. This has become one of my favorite CDs. It's called Spirit Speak to Me. And I hope you love this music as much as I do. This talks about what it means to wake up and know God inside of you. You have to be willing to go all the way inside yourself because that's where you find spirit. That's where you find the core of your being. I used to say, you know, go inside to touch the universe. Enjoy.
Thank you.
deeper to fly higher. Oh, that is the truth of it. We have to go all the way inside to know who we really are. And I think for a lot of us, that's often a scary thought, because we think inside of us there's something dreadful or something bad, or, you know, we worry about all the negative thoughts and feelings and things that we have. And the truth is, we have to face those, forgive ourselves, and then make a new choice, because that's the only way to move forward and go deeper and fly higher. Because the truth is, what lives in the core of you is God, is source energy, the divine spark of life, whatever you call that. And that divine spark of life, it can set you free. I mean, that is not a cliche when people say the truth will set you free, because it will. It does. You got to know that you're holding on to something before you can let it go. And I think what a lot of us do is we try to pretend like whatever's hurting us isn't actually there. We pretend like it's not hurting us, or we pretend like we don't know it's there. But we can't lie to ourselves. We can try, but we can't really lie to ourselves, because we have divinity at our core, and it knows a lie when it hears one. So pretending that you don't have a pain, a wound, a hurt, or ignoring it doesn't ever make it better. It never goes away. It is not time that heals wounds. It's awareness. Because as soon as we are aware, then we have power. And we can forgive ourselves, or we can be willing to forgive ourselves. And we can make a new choice. Always. The present moment is always possible to make a new choice right now. And it's okay if you have to make that new choice over and over and over. That's why it's called a spiritual practice, because you have to keep practicing it over and over. You never got good at anything by doing it once. You have to do it a bunch of times. You know, when I first started working with Louise Hay's mirror work, it cracked me up, because, you know, she says to look in the mirror and tell yourself, I love and approve of myself fully and completely, or I totally accept and love myself. And she said to look in the mirror and say that over and over, I love and approve of myself just as I am. And she said to do that until it felt good, and then keep doing it because it feels good. Because the first 100 or 1,000 times you do that, it feels ridiculous. Or it feels like a lie. But if you will keep looking in the mirror and looking into your own eyes and just simply saying, I love and approve of myself exactly as I am, you're probably going to hear a lot of objections come up inside your mind. It's okay. They can be there. You don't need to argue with them. You can notice them, and then you just repeat yourself. I love and approve of myself exactly as I am. And you just keep doing that until it feels good. And then you keep doing it because it feels good. We are going to go back to our 21 ways to stay in the peace from Byron Katie. This one is really good, especially for all the women out there. I think we have a little bit of trouble with this still. And this is asking for what you want and giving yourself what you want. Ask for what you want, even if it feels bold or awkward, because people don't know what you want until you ask them. I hear all kinds of people say, oh, well, you know, they would have done that if they wanted to. And it's like, no, they didn't know you wanted it. Well, they should have known I wanted it. No, we're not all psychics. It's like, ask for what you want, even if it feels awkward or bold to do that, because people really don't know what you want until you ask for it. And it's the act of asking. It's a validation of your awareness that you deserve to have what you want. That is a powerful statement of self-love. I want you to hear that again. The act of asking for what you want is a validation of your own awareness that you deserve to have what you want. So if you have a problem with feeling deserving or feeling worthy, then this is a good practice to heal that problem of undeservingness. Ask for what you want, because that will validate your worthiness. If other people are unable or unwilling to accommodate your request, that's okay. That's not your business. That's their business. Your business is asking. If they can't give it to you, then you give it to yourself. Because I bet you that you're smart enough to figure out how to give it to yourself. You know, if it's love you want from someone else, give yourself some love. If it's a something you want from someone else, figure out how you can either give yourself that or give yourself what is it that you thought you were going to get from that. But that's very powerful practice, to ask for what you want and to also give yourself what you want. The next one I want to talk about is beyond, she calls it beyond justification. Begin to notice how often you explain or justify yourself. How you justify or explain your words, your actions, your decisions, your thinking, your feelings. Who are you trying to convince? And what is the story that you're perpetuating? Become aware of your use of the words because or but when you speak. And when you do that, stop your sentence immediately and begin again. Those are ways to justify. Justification is really an attempt to manipulate the other person. Most of us don't think of it that way, but it really is. We're trying to do image control. We're trying to control another person. Justifying is an attempt to manipulate another person. So unless that's what you want to be doing, stop it. You can decide to be still and just know whatever it is your truth is. So just begin to notice that, how often you explain or justify whatever it is you're talking about, yourself, your words, your actions, your decisions, your thoughts, or your feelings. And just notice who you're trying to convince. And notice what the story is you're trying to get somebody or someone to believe. And one of the ways that you can begin to notice that is look at when you say da-da-da-da-da-da, but, or when you say da-da-da-da-da, because. Both of those are ways to justify or explain. And when you hear that, just stop and stop that sentence and begin again without the justification. That is a very simple but very powerful practice. I think you'll have to try that a few times to really get how powerful it is. Another one I want to talk about, and, you know, I've done some workshops and things with Byron Katie, and she is truly a profound person to work with. If you ever get a chance to hear her speak, even if it's at a book signing or do a seminar or a weekend with her, it really is quite an illuminating experience. And this is one of the things she talks about and demonstrates a great deal. And the first time I heard it, I was astonished. I'm like, do what? I couldn't even believe she was saying this. But then when I watched her model it and watched it with other people, and now I've been using it, it really is an amazing practice. And she calls it the gift of criticism. Think about this. She says that criticism is an incredible opportunity to grow. And so then she gives some steps on how to receive criticism so that you benefit from it. For example, when somebody says something to you like, you're wrong, or you're terrible, or you're sloppy, or whatever they say, in your own mind, and you can also say it out loud to that person if it feels safe to do that, but you definitely don't need to. You can just do it in your mind. That's enough. Say thank you. Whatever it is that they're accusing you of, whatever criticism it is that they're leveling at you, say thank you in your mind. When we do that, that immediately puts us in a space where we're available to hear and to use whatever it is that they just said in a way that can actually serve us. Because after that criticism, you can ask yourself, do I hurt? And if the answer to that is yes, then what you can know is that somewhere inside of you, you believe the criticism that they just gave to you. Because if you didn't believe it at all, it would not hurt. And so when you know that somewhere inside of you, that you believe that criticism, that you are actually calling yourself whatever it was they just called you, that gives you the opportunity to heal that part of yourself that you have somehow called unacceptable or bad. What you do in that moment is the same thing we were talking about earlier, is you notice that you've been thinking about yourself that way, and you notice, is it really true? And if it is, then you forgive yourself. And if it isn't, then you just let the thought go. You say, I'm willing to release that judgment about myself. But if you find places where it's been true, it's like, okay, so I'm human. All right, so I'm willing to forgive myself for that. I was doing the best that I could. If I could have done it differently, I would have, but now I can. And so you decide to forgive yourself, and you decide to let that thought, that criticism of yourself go, and you might have to practice that. But you are suddenly empowered. And the way, actually, to stop being vulnerable to other people's criticisms is to heal those internal negative thoughts that we have about ourselves. If we heal those internal criticisms, then those external ones, they really don't bother us. We just hear it and we know that that's their business, not our business. And it doesn't hurt. And you know, that's the ultimate power. It's like we can let go of being in somebody else's business and being hurt by whatever's going on in their business. And we can no longer be manipulated, because there's no place for their criticism to stick in us, because we're not criticizing ourselves at all. And that is freedom. So that's sort of a big concept to get there. So I kind of want to go over that a little bit again. So the idea is, if someone criticizes you, at least in your head, say, thank you. Because when we say thank you, we've stopped fighting it. We've stopped defending against it. We've opened ourselves up to, like, hear what they're saying and to use the information in a way that actually serves us. And if we notice that we're hurt, then we can notice what that means is somewhere inside of ourselves, we've been criticizing ourselves in the same way. And once we know that, it's like once we realize we're holding it, we can let it go. So once we know that we've been criticizing ourselves in that way, then we can heal that. And the way we heal that is we either decide to let that criticism of ourselves go, we discover or decide that it simply isn't true, and we let it go. Or we discover how it is true, and we forgive ourselves, and then we let it go. And what happens is when we heal those internal criticisms, then other people's criticisms do not bother us. That's just the way of it. Because of something someone said to me earlier, I want to talk about a different way of looking at these very same things. And this is actually all biblical quotes called 10 Ways to Love. And they go right along with these 21 Ways to Peace that Byron Katie came up with. And I just want to tell you a couple of those. Number one, listen without interrupting. That's Proverbs 18. Two, speak without accusing. That's James 1:19. Pray without ceasing. That's Colossians 1:9. Answer without arguing. That's Proverbs 17:1. Enjoy without complaint. Philippians 2:14. Now, you know, that is one of my favorite ones. Enjoy. We have to give ourselves permission most of the time to actually enjoy this present moment, this life, this body, this world, this sky. It's okay to enjoy without complaint. And so I'm going to invite you to do that. I just really want to thank everybody for listening. I have had such a good time today sharing with you these 21 ways to peace. I think that it is always to our benefit to focus on how to be in peace because all of us say we want a peaceful world, and there is never going to be peace in the world until there is peace in your heart and my heart and peace in more humans' hearts, because the outer world is really and truly just a reflection of what's going on inside of us collectively. And so peace begins quite literally with you and with me. And so the more peace we generate inside of ourselves in every moment that we live, then the more peace there is going to be in the world. I hope each of us takes that to heart and becomes committed to living in the greatest, deepest, sincerest peace and love and joy that we can possibly live in, because that is the greatest gift that we can give to the world, to the people in our lives, to the earth itself, to our political system, to our governments, to our schools, to everyone and everything in our lives. The greatest gift that we can give is our own joyful, peaceful presence. And so that's what I do here every week, is help each of us remember, myself included, how to clear out the things that take us away from that peace and how to be inspired by the things that bring us into it. And so I really do hope you join me here every Wednesday. I hope you join me on the Facebook page for this show. Feel free to contact me through any of my websites. And I really want to start out the new year with hearing more about people's stories. What has really made a difference in your life? What was a space or a time or a circumstance in your life where you woke up and you suddenly knew in a way that you didn't know before? I want to close out the show by speaking to just a few more of these 21 ways that Byron Katie gives us for staying in peace. One is, she calls it self-gratitude. For 24 hours, stop looking outside yourself for validation. On the other side of that, you become the experience of gratitude. So what she's saying there is validate yourself. Remember what there is to be grateful for. Notice your own blessings. Validate yourself. Stop looking outside of yourself for validation. And whenever you notice that you have done that, stop and validate yourself in the way that you were looking for from someone else. What that practice will do is bring you into an incredible state of gratitude. The next one that I love is recognize that the person standing in front of you is really you. Beyond all appearances and personalities is the essence of goodness, of God, of divinity, that divine spark of life. That's you. That's also them. Remembering your presence in all forms, meaning everything that's in front of you is also you, that brings you immediately into the present moment. And what happens is this sense of awe at how full that present moment is. The person standing in front of you becomes then an opportunity for you to know yourself. And your heart can just overflow with love and with gratitude. And it's this humbleness that says, oh yes, this person or situation is here for me to learn about who I am. That is a powerful, powerful practice. You know what? I think I'm going to stop right there. I didn't get the 21 all done, but I think what I want to stop with is another biblical lesson about a way to love. This also comes from Colossians. We read something from there earlier. Forgive without punishing. Colossians 3:13. And I would say that for yourself. Forgive yourself without punishing yourself. Forgive yourself for anything and everything that you've done in the past that you would rather not do in the future. Because the moment you accept that you've done it and you forgive yourself, then you have the power through love, which is what acceptance is. You have the power through love to then make a new choice, to say, I am choosing to behave in whatever way it is that you would rather be doing. I am. Pay attention to what follows those words. because that's what's creating your reality. Claim the best for yourself. Claim your power. Claim your ability to love. Claim your divinity, because that's what makes you who you are. And that's the truth of it. I will see you back here next week. We are closing out with a theme song for the show, which is God Is by Faith Rivera. And this tells you just how much, how present God always is, because God is where you are and you are where God is. Enjoy.